think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to text the show, you can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like. You are good to go. Aaron will respond to you if it's any good, even if it's not. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed. And, I should have Dell's memorized by now, but I don't.
Delvin Cito.
It is not Delvin Cito.
No.
It is at Del V2.
Oh, yeah. What does that mean?
When I first got into this, maybe over a decade ago now, One listener called me Dell version 2 because I was working at Main Event and working here. So he said, when you work here, it's the second version of yourself. So I just – before I was on Twitter, I just changed it to Dell V2.
What did you do at Main Event?
I was a laser tag attendant. Really, well, all that means is you make sure the dopey kids and their drunk parents put the vests on correctly, and then you just let them walk in. The rule is there's supposed to be two of us in there to watch the game. There was never two of us in there.
You guys didn't care?
No. No. Main Event would open on Mondays. For whatever reason, it would stay open until 2 and the a.m. and the last laser tag game's like at 1:30. So you imagine the drunks are flooding into that game. One time, one woman came up to me and said, "Hey, can you take a picture of me and my friends with my vest on?" And as you might imagine, being there since 6 p.m., I was like, my face said it all. I was like, "I'm not taking that picture." She goes, "It's not like I asked you to give a, let's say, oral copulation." And right. I responded with, "I'd rather give oral copulation than take that picture." So that is how much I love that job.
Yeah, you were a pleasant employee.
At 1:30, yes.
No wonder,
very pleasant.
No wonder you got fired.
I didn't get fired.
Should have.
I left on my own accord.
Hey, you were saying during the break, so I'm looking. I can't find a story about Jalen Ferguson.
Yeah, Tony Pauline on Twitter. He's tweeting about it. Jalen Ferguson went to Louisiana Tech, defensive end.
The all-time sacks leader, yes, in NCAA football. Yeah, I mean, the guy's a freak show.
I don't know if he'll be a first rounder. Maybe he'll be a day two pick. But no, if you want to draft him today and maybe tomorrow, you can't get in contact with him because a tornado ripped through Ruston, and NFL teams can't get in touch with him because he's out there helping people. I guess maybe no phone service as well. So if a team is looking to draft Jalen Ferguson tonight, he probably won't be taking your call.
What do you do if you're a GM? Because they always like that's how they feel important. They get on the speakerphone or like a team owner. "Hey, you ready to be a Carolina Panther?" And then the guy says, "Yes, sir. Good news, you're going to be one, son." And then they turn in the pick. But I feel like if you can't have that moment. Do you really want to draft that guy?
Do I really want to draft a guy with the character to go out and help people after a tornado?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that guy on my team.
Yeah, what if that guy is out helping people and gets tetanus and his leg falls off? How about that? Now you drafted a one-legged pass rusher.
I'm willing to take that chance.
And sure, we saw a guy with one hand. He worked out. But have we ever seen a player with one leg work out? By the way, that's exactly what happened to Shaquem Griffin. Right before the draft, he was helping people after a hurricane, a tsunami, and his hand got bit off by a shark.
This feels in line with your Matthew Lillard, Damian Lillard story, because I'm pretty sure they were talking about Shaquem Griffin 5 years ago with his missing arm or missing hand.
I don't remember that. Maybe, one of us could be right, one could be wrong.
You're right.
I mean, that's what it boils down to. I don't know which is which, but it's up for debate. But either way, it just seems like you lose that moment. He's out helping. You remember when I was trying to help people after the hurricane? Guess what the first thing that happened to me was?
You got tetanus
in your leg. I got a cut on my hand, first thing.
And your whole arm is gone now.
And then my arm was in Harvey water, bleeding. I could have died.
But you know what? Guess what? You're sitting right here.
Yeah, because I was one of the lucky ones. is what it boils down to. One of the lucky
ones.
Well,
I'm sure he'll be one of the lucky ones, too.
I don't know.
Yeah, I want a guy with character. I'll take that guy who's out doing that.
Well, good for you. You know what they say? Only the good die young, Fred. You think that ups his chances?
Oh, no, it means I'm going to live forever.
Yeah, there's zero possibility of you dying young now. So, I guess that does make sense.
I guess, everything. Well, let's see in 10 years when we've all got robot parts and people are living to be 300. Then I might be still dying young, technically.
Ugh. You're going to look so gross with a robot arm.
No, that's going to be badass.
You're going to get a robot nose, aren't you?
Probably. It'll be smaller, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Biomechanical.
So, can I give you the guys that Cody would like to see the Texans get in all seven rounds?
Sure.
And you can tell me.
You want my expert opinion on
I want your expert opinion on whether they would be good picks and if it's realistic.
Okay.
First round, he has them taking Andre Dillard.
Now, I'm no expert, but I've listened to a couple of experts today, and I've been told that if you want Andre Dillard, you're going to have to be picking inside the top 20. So if Andre Dillard's going to go to the Texans, my guess is the Texans will have had to trade up to get him.
Doesn't feel like a move they would make.
Doesn't, but.
But you never know. He might just slide. Teams may decide, oh, no, we don't like him. It happens. But, yeah, I would love to see that. I just don't think it's realistic, if that's fair. Second round, Julian Love, cornerback, Notre Dame.
I talked to Lance yesterday about some cornerbacks that I liked. And granted, I'm not an expert, but I do watch quite a bit of college football. And I was asking him about, obviously, if Greedy Williams is gone, Greedy Williams is basically the consensus number one guy. But I was telling Lance, I'm not really crazy about him because I think once he gets money, he's going to be
a problem.
He's not going to be as motivated, maybe. And I said Baker and Murphy are probably my two favorite corners. And he told me Murphy they might, but he's a little slow. And
well, they got enough slowness.
He said, I said, slower than Kareem when they drafted him? He said, yes. So I'm out on him.
Okay.
So I asked him about Justin Lane and Trayvon Mullen. And he said Lane's likely to, Mullen second or third. Lane wouldn't be their pick, I don't think, too thin. So maybe Mullen, but I didn't ask him about Julian Love.
Okay. Second round, second pick, Titus Howard, Alabama State, offensive tackle.
I mean, he's a tackle. Yeah. I wouldn't hate it.
Third round, this is the one that I love. 86th overall, Darrell Henderson from Memphis. I would love to see that.
I would love to see it. I would love to see it after you've selected two offensive linemen and two cornerbacks. Then you can get into drafting running backs and wide receivers, and that's fine.
I think running backs are a legitimate need. It's not as pressing as offensive tackle and cornerback.
Right.
But you've got Lamar Miller and Deontay Foreman right now.
Yeah.
You need a guy. And are you going to be able to count on Foreman?
I don't know.
So if they take him there, I'll be happy.
But you can find guys all over the draft and for running backs. You can find free agent running backs.
But for the
that can play
for that spot, that's my favorite running back in the draft. Okay. You can get him in the third round, fifth round. Kingsley Kiki, defensive lineman, A&M.
Okay,
I really don't know much about him.
And now you're starting to take more players before you take a second cornerback, and I don't like that.
There's only one cornerback in his. I take it back. There's two, but one's in the seventh round.
Okay.
So he's got Ryan Bates, guard from Penn State, in the sixth.
I don't know much about Ryan Bates.
And Xavier Crawford, cornerback from Central Michigan.
Central Michigan. Yeah, he like basically the only good player on Central Michigan this year. But I don't know if he's going to be around in round seven. I'm no expert, but I can't picture him lasting that long. He's a pretty damn good player.
I kind of feel like there's about four guys on here that he has them getting that I think will go higher than that.
That's typical of mock drafts done by fans of teams because they always assume the best case scenario is going to happen.
Yeah, Cody's a little more than a fan, though.
Well, I'm not saying. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying he's a guy who follows the Texans closely, and they often try to picture best case scenario for my favorite team.
See, I always try to picture worst case scenarios.
Yeah.
So, because that's usually what happens.
Like, I remember several years ago, I was super excited for the Bills to draft Brian Arakpo. I was like, oh, he might fall to where they are. He's a big need. I mean, it's a big need. I think he's going to be a great player. And Brian Arakpo did fall to that spot. And instead, the Bills took Aaron Maben, who is a giant walking trash can. So, sometimes best case scenario. And when the Rockets, I remember thinking, this was a long time ago, I was thinking, man, dream case, dream world scenario, Rudy Gay will fall to where the Rockets pick, and they'll have a legit stud with that mid-first round pick. Guess what? Rudy Gay fell to the Rockets. And I'm like, oh, they got him. 5 minutes later, the Rockets have traded away Rudy Gay. I mean, it's typical. That's what happens.
Okay.
It's best case scenario. It never works out best case scenario.
Your guy Aaron Maben made some news today, or a couple days ago. The snitch, Martin Blazer.
I saw that.
He mentioned he didn't mention Aaron Maben by name.
But he said the 11th pick from Penn State.
Who went to the Bills pretty much.
In 2009. I mean, he basically laid it out.
Yeah.
His name rhymes with Garen Fabin. I mean, it's like, geez, okay. I mean, you might as well just say the dude's name. All right, I got to tell you guys about Man Centers. Listen, if you are struggling with low testosterone, it can affect you in a lot of ways. It can affect you at work. It can affect you at the gym. It can affect you in the bedroom. And Man Centers knows you don't want to deal with those problems. And if you've got low testosterone, a lot of guys will tell you, hey, come to our place and we'll give you a shot. And then you'll feel better for a few days, and then you're going to have to come back the next week and get another shot. And that sucks. It's a pain in the ass. Top of that, can damage your fertility, cause dependency, and even shrinkage. So if you're one of those guys who wants to avoid shrinkage, maybe check out Man Centers. They're focusing on enhancing your body's natural ability to produce its own testosterone again. Houston at Katy Freeway and Campbell in the Memorial area, off 249 in Northwest Houston and down south in Webster, three locations. April's Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. If you're experiencing any kind of problems or pain down there, book an appointment. Let the doctors at Man Centers find out what's going on and help you get better. 832-358-8600 or go to mancenters.com to book it online. The Y Factor, presented by Man Centers, helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman with Dell today at Twin Peaks on Kirby. Come on out. I've got some NFL players who are going to be here later for their draft party. And, of course, having some food, having some drinks, just enjoying the day. And it is a beautiful day on the patio, man. We're not going to have too many of these left, so come enjoy it.
Dell, do you sign autographs when you're out on location?
No. The joy I get from location is watching the surprised look on people's faces when they realize I'm actually Dell, because if they've only heard the voice.
They don't think you're black?
No. It is the only joy I get.
Well, if I didn't know you, you do sound like an angry little white man.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Is it racist that that someone would think you were white because of your voice?
I mean, that is something you have to look inside yourself and question why you assume this voice makes you think of a white person. I am not the one to judge. That you have to look deep inside yourself and go, huh, why do I think this voice is associated with white people? And then you have to ask, what does a black voice sound like to me?
Yeah, that is a good point.
But everybody thinks Barry's black.
Do they?
Yeah. I think a lot of people, when they first hear Barry Lemon, I think he's black.
That's because Barry.
Is it because he just woke? Is that what it is?
It's because he uses the N-word, and everybody just thinks that he's got, I mean.
Well, the question is it the hard E-R or the soft A?
Soft A.
Okay, then I can see why some people might think that.
By the way, that's a joke. Barry doesn't actually do
that. Well, he's not on air.
Yeah, I've never heard him say it.
I've never heard it. I can't speak to what he does when he's not
that's
here.
That's how rumors get started.
Yeah. But, yeah, you sound like you would teach an accounting course at Lone Star College.
They don't want me. Oh, that's how far I've achieved teaching accounting at Lone Star College with this voice?
I mean, that's just what I would.
I taught at a junior college. That'd be nice.
I mean.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Community college is what they call them now.
Community colleges.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that as a knock.
I took it as one, though.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. If you had said Rice,
yeah, I would
be like, oh, that's cool.
I'm like, thanks. It's an overestimation of my ability, but I appreciate it.
Right. I tried to hit, like, about where your abilities seem to be.
You could have said, like, adjunct at Houston, U of H or something. I don't know.
Is U of H a better school than Lone Star?
Yes.
Those are the words of A.J. Hoffman.
How about St. Thomas?
Yeah, I'll take that. St. Thomas, I appreciate that.
Okay.
No, I guess. I don't know what an accounting professor sounds like. I guess it sounds like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you know.
I got in trouble with my bosses when I worked in Austin because I used to own a website called BuckyGodbolt.com. And Bucky Godbolt was the former running backs coach for the Texas Longhorns. And when I started in radio, he worked at the Longhorn station doing the morning show. And Bucky was a black man. But if you heard Bucky, you would have never guessed that he was a black man. He sounded whiter than Dell.
I argue the whole Dell sounds white, but go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, you're presupposing that everyone's agreeing that Dell sounds white.
Dell, can we at least agree that you sound like light-skinned?
Like a non-black? Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah. Like, maybe not a white guy, but definitely not a black guy.
I don't know. Drake is a light skin. He sounds. People think he's black when they hear him talk.
Yeah, but he screwed the Maple Leafs the other night, so we do not speak of his name.
Uh-oh. But he does that to every sports team he attaches himself to.
I owned BuckyGodbolt.com, and that site linked to the movie trailer site for a movie called White Chicks. And I always tried to convince people that it was a ratings ploy that they tried to convince us Bucky was black because they wanted the black, you know, the black audience to listen. Which, by the way, that's literally the only reason Dell is on air at our station is because we need a black guy.
Yeah, it's called diversity.
Yeah.
So when the calls come in and they go, what is going on? You look in the morning.
Yeah, we've got a black guy.
There's a poster with his picture on it.
Yeah.
We swear.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, a lot of people have jobs at our station just for that. I mean, Raheel's another one, you know.
We have to have a Pakistani. It's in the contract.
Yeah, that was, I mean.
No, the thing is, you guys tried to get away and placate people with putting Raheel on, and they're like, that's not going to be enough. And that's when I got called back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a fact of what happened.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that our audience has been stronger with the black man because of Dell, even though most black men don't. I actually heard a black man call into the show today. And tell Dell he wasn't black.
He tried to take my card away because I don't care about Beyonce. Like, Beyonce means nothing. Beyonce's, I understand, I get what she is. I get the talent level. I get the success. But why would I care about Beyonce?
Let me ask this, and maybe this is my racial ignorance here.
Probably.
I feel like Beyonce, just as big in the white community as the black community, if not bigger.
Yeah, yeah. The Beyonce crosses Beyonce's all racial lines.
Yeah,
like, I don't know why Beyonce. I get it. Black people like Beyonce's ours. I get that part. But Beyonce's big everywhere. She's a global artist. Demographics don't matter.
I feel like a racist white dad, if he found his daughter with a Beyonce CD, he'd be like,
dude, like, at least it's not Cardi B.
I'll allow it. You know?
It could have been the other one.
Don't try bringing one home, but you can keep this damn CD. I just feel like...
He's like, Formation, I like that song. He would probably drop that at some point.
Yeah.
Beyonce, I get it. You want to take my card away for not... What else was it? Someone else tried to take my card away because I didn't watch Good Times. Good Times was before my time.
How old are you?
Martin. I'm 34. Good Times was before my time.
Yeah, you're a little young for that.
Yeah.
I grew up watching Martin.
But sometimes you can go back to the classics.
That's why I watch A-Team.
Okay. Like, have you ever seen Richard Pryor do stand-up?
I have. Yeah, but I'm not going to search it out. But if a clip comes up and maybe it's on YouTube and I go into a rabbit hole, I'll see it.
Have you ever watched Sanford and Son?
I've seen episodes, yes.
That is,
when I
that
was really, really
one
young.
Of my favorites that I grew up with.
Like, I didn't grow up with Sanford and Son, but I've gone back and watched it, and I love it.
I do, too. That was one when I was growing up. That was probably my favorite show.
Really?
Yeah.
But that was on when you were growing up. God, you are so old.
Well, I know. I'm not denying it.
Was
why do you act so shocked? Just because I act like a 27-year-old
doesn't mean I'm 27. Was it hard to tell if Sanford and Son were black on your black and white TV?
It was not black and white. It was color.
Although they don't like to when be I called was color,
really
Fred.
Rude.
The television was color.
Oh, got it.
Jeez. What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know.
You've got issues, man.
Yeah, I know.
He feels like he's got carte blanche because there's a black man sitting here.
That's actually true. Thank you. Why do you think I put you on the schedule for this?
Couldn't make these shows with Aaron sitting here.
That's right.
Yeah, because, you know, Aaron, just not interesting enough for us.
Hey,
understood.
What are we doing on the other side of this break?
Are we having Lance?
Oh, yeah, we're having Lance.
Okay.
After we have Lance, can we talk about this firefighter deal?
Yeah, I want to.
I know you've got some fire to throw.
Well, and I'm actually going to reach out to Marty and see if he wants to come on and talk with us again next week.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I do have some opinions on that. By the way, Mark Berman tweeted out just breaking news: college football sources confirm UH Cougar football 2019 opening game at Oklahoma moved to Sunday night, September 1 for ESPN. So they'll be starting off
Sunday night football?
Yeah, on September 1st.
I don't like it.
Why not?
Actually, I do like it because the NFL won't have started yet, right?
Right, right. That'll be one of the big games.
Yeah, I'll allow that.
Okay, well, I'm glad you'll allow it.
Yeah.
All right, I have to tell you about what I did after I went to watch Endgame on Tuesday. Went over to Big City Wings with my man Sam and tried out all the great new menu items that they have. The Mile High Fries, the Crawfish Mac and Cheese. We tried the Fruity Pebble Waffles, the Honey Bun Burger. They've got all these new items, and they're fantastic. Limited time menu only. I got to tell you, the Crawfish Mac and Cheese, fantastic. So if you get a chance, go and check that out. Obviously, their wings are great. They've got terrific burgers as well. But that's what I like, man. They're all the time creating new stuff for you guys to try. It's still crawfish season, so they got you covered there. And specials every day. Let's say you want to go out there and watch the draft tonight. How about this? Double boneless wings and Texas crafts. That's what they got for you. And 8 locations around the city now. They're popping up all over the place. New one out on Rayford Road. We'll be going out there soon. And the one in Kingwood has an A.J. Hoffman table and a Fred Fowler table. And most importantly, a Charlie Palillo table. But lunch specials, everything. Specials every day. Happy hours, you name it. Find the location nearest you at BigCityWings.com or follow them on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's all Big City Wings. That's BigCityWings.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. James said, not sure why the Texans waste a mid-round pick on a running back. Hate to say it, but trading Clowney for the picks and a possible player could send tons of problems here. I don't hate to say that. I've been saying that for 2 weeks. If you can get a deal like the Seahawks got,
yeah,
I make that deal. But it's not, for me, it's not a wasted pick in the third round if you get an impact running back. To me, that's better than let's just draft a tackle because we need one. Because the guy you're going to get there probably isn't going to be ready to help you next year. You need to get tackles and cornerbacks. I get that.
What pick did they use on Foreman? A second rounder?
I think he was a third.
Okay.
Might have been fourth, actually.
What, I mean, is that a wasted pick?
I guess we're going to find out, huh? It didn't look like it was going to be a wasted pick.
I just don't like – I don't know. I feel like you can find running backs all over the place, and they get hurt too easy.
Yeah, that's fair, but I happen to like this particular guy. I think he's got more talent than the third round. So if they make that pick, I'll be happy with it. The rest of you guys can say, oh, I hate it. I'll be happy.
I'm not an expert.
No, I don't pretend to be an expert either, but I do – pretend I like certain players. Yeah, well, I don't pretend to like them. I do. So, So Lance at 547. Is that what I hear? So maybe we should knock out the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day now. Is that
the gem of the day? It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we have a new sex scandal teacher.
Okay.
But this one is kind of next level in terms of, you know, it's always teachers. Occasionally it's the school nurse. This was the school superintendent.
Oh. That's what we call upper management.
Yeah. This would be.
This would be like Todd hooking up with an underage intern at our station.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Gross.
Austintown, Ohio. But she had just been promoted to Windham School District Superintendent. She was arraigned after she was indicted on charges of sexual misconduct. Two students, 35-year-old Laura Amaro, is charged with two counts of sexual battery, two counts of attempted sexual battery. Those are all felonies. Two counts of intimidation of a victim or witness to a crime, which are misdemeanors. But is there basically in her official capacity, she had sex twice with the same student, who was 16 years old.
Male or female?
Doesn't say. So she's also accused of trying to have sex with another.
It doesn't matter, is what you were supposed to say.
Well, it doesn't say, but it doesn't matter. How's that?
That's right.
Both. She also attempted to have sex with another student who was also 16 at the time.
Ooh. Did the first 16-year-old find out about the second one?
I don't know. But the second one apparently never happened. I guess the second one wasn't into it.
Second one snitched.
And then she tried to get a witness to change his or her testimony.
Well.
But she joined the schools in 2015 and was a junior senior high school principal before taking over as superintendent. That's her. Not on that picture.
Yeah. In her mugshot, she doesn't look great.
But it's a mugshot, right?
It's hard to look great in a mugshot. But in her regular picture, I mean, she's like a school superintendent 7.
I'm going to say I can see why one said yes and one said no.
Yeah. It's a tough call.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, remember, these are 16-year-olds. And if they're 16-year-old boys, I mean, would you have said yes as a 16-year-old boy?
Oh, God, yeah.
Not even a question.
Yeah. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
A lot of talk about Dell.
Yeah.
Dell sounds like Aziz Ansari from Parks and Rec. I swear my friend is hearing Dell for the first time and thought he was white. This guy calls you Dale. He says Dale definitely sounds like a congested white guy. Dell is Tony Gwynn. The king of black guys sounding like white guys. So, I don't know. It's kind of consensus. I mean, and then there's Jose, who congratulates you for joining Lance as radio personalities on two number one Houston sports radio
shows. I think
shows.
I outpaced Lance. I'm on three. At least I thought that's what we found out today.
Oh, you guys were number one in your time slot.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
What?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's great and all, but, I mean, really, bump that number a little. What's going on? Are you stopping, like, at 9 o'clock, you just stop trying so hard?
I would say, 8:40.
Oh, yeah, that's about when you check out?
I'm done for the day.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what happens with that time slot. I just feel like I'm blessed to work with those two. It's a joy, and I love doing it every
two?
Day. No.
What? John and Lance? What? Or John and Reel?
No, I speak about myself in a third person.
Oh.
So it's me and me.
Oh.
And then I tolerate the other two. Lance is probably not my favorite if I'm going to rank the three guys I work with.
Why?
It's Lance. You're not around him as much as I am. He's not great.
I got to be honest. We talked about this the other day. I heard you guys ranking each other
in
1 through 4.
In terms of the worst person.
And there's a good argument to be made for all of you, really.
But you have to rank. Like, I know we're all kind of Alabama when it comes to the worst people ever, but someone has to be Clemson, the king of the hill.
Yeah, I think it's Raheel for me.
You're not privy to the group chats. Lance is by far the worst person, but he's undercover with it. because he has kids, he likes to pretend that he's not that guy.
Right.
He's a piece of crap when it comes to the text messaging.
Really?
In the text messaging, yes.
What kind of things does he say?
I can't say them. I can't say them.
The text messaging is like a sacred place?
No, I just actually can't say them. There are things he says I can't say. I mean, he makes fun of people he shouldn't be making fun of.
Does he make fun of me?
No, it's not about who he works with. He picks on the less fortunate.
Like homeless or handicapped?
I pick on the homeless. They're the actual zombies of the real world. I don't mind picking on the homeless. He just says things he wouldn't want out there, so I won't put him out there. I ain't no snitch.
Okay. All right, that's fair. That reminds me, speaking of homeless, where are we at in the world where – and you know what? Dave's sitting here. Maybe you can give us a nod, Dave, yes or no. So yesterday I went to Randall's to buy a chicken at lunchtime, and I ended up buying a chicken and a case of Topo Chico. And as I'm walking out, there's a guy walking next to me who looks like a methy Keith Urban.
Okay.
He's wearing camouflage pants. I mean, the guy, he looks, I don't want to prejudge people based on what they look like, but he looks
except
like,
you do it every day.
He looks like he hasn't showered in some time, and he probably lives in a tent. Well, he started walking really fast. And then an employee yelled at him, "Hey, did you pay for that?" And then he speeds into a full-on sprint.
So the answer is no, he didn't pay for that.
I'm pretty sure the answer, he never turned back and said, "Yes, I paid for it," or presented his receipt. He didn't do that. So because I'm what some people would consider a hero, my first instinct was to stop him. And then I thought, you know what? I'm also a man of the people, and maybe this guy's just trying to feed his family, and Randall's is a huge corporation, and they can spare, you know, whatever they're losing. And then the third part of me thought, what if I tackle him, and then I catch a lawsuit? So
exactly.
I ended up letting the guy go, but I could have made the stop. Was it right of me or wrong of me to just avoid the situation altogether?
I
feel like if I were Batman, I would have stopped him.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not like he's... It's not like he knifed somebody or...
True.
Punched a woman or something like that. That's a different deal. They've got insurance.
Okay.
I think I'm okay with it.
Okay. Dave, would I have gotten in trouble if I tackled a shoplifter?
No, Fred, you would have been considered a good Samaritan.
Okay, and there's a law that would protect me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you see someone in the commission of a crime and you move in to prevent that crime or stop that crime, you're risking your own life perhaps, but you're doing the right thing and the law protects you.
Okay, thank goodness. Dell, what about, what do you think?
Well, I'm not one to help anyone, so I'm a poor judge. I'm not running in front of a zombie to stop him. He's homeless. Look, the zombie thing I've thought out. You don't think if the homeless could transmit being homeless, they'd wipe us all out? Like, if they could transmit that disease like zombies can, they wouldn't wipe us out? Because we don't know what to do with the homeless.
Well, they can. It's called divorce.
Well...
They almost got you with that a couple times.
But if they could scratch you or bite you and you become homeless, they'd wipe us out in probably 6 months.
I always think about that. I think about if my cats were the size of lions, would they try to kill me?
Yeah.
Or do they just, like, you know, act like a cat because they know that I could kill them if I wanted? So
yeah, cats aren't dumb. If they could take you out, they would. Like, you turn your back, you're done.
I feel that way. A dog, I feel like, is somewhat loyal. A cat, I feel like, it's faking like it likes me. But if it could, it would probably kill me.
Oh, I think ours would kill our entire family if they could get a chance.
Look, you feed
especially
that.
Especially the dogs.
Aaron,
kill them.
Aaron, what would you have done in that situation?
I want to say I would have tackled him, but I almost got fired for tripping somebody when I worked at Academy because they were stealing stuff. So
that
I
was
don't know.
You tripped that person. They weren't stealing. You just tripped them because you thought it was funny.
They weren't running out of the store with like $300 worth of paintball guns.
and you tripped him and stopped him? You stopped the crime?
I tripped him, but he still got up and got grabbed one of them and jumped in his buddy's truck and drove away. So I saved three of them. He had
every
four.
Place I've ever been
and
to.
And you got in trouble for that?
Oh, yeah. I almost got fired.
Every because place he I've got ever away
worked,
with one.
Yeah, every place I've ever worked tells you not to get involved.
Really?
Every place I've ever worked said, don't stop them. Don't try.
Well, then why do you want AJ to get involved?
Oh, I don't want him to get involved.
No, Aaron.
Oh, Aaron.
No, but I'm talking about when you were doing that, if the store's not going to get involved, why should you? It's a chicken.
When I worked at in high school, I worked at a video store that wasn't Blockbuster Video. It was like a mom-and-pop video store. And it also had a porno room. And oftentimes people would try to steal porno. And I was trained to try to stop guys from stealing porno. If somebody walked through the metal detector and it went off, like, it was my job to chase them down.
And tase them.
No, we didn't have tasers at the video store. We just had
all right,
just hands.
We got to go to break. But,
just these things.
John Granato sent me the definitive worst person morning show rankings. One, Lance. Two, Raheel. Three, Dell. Four, John.
Look, I'm not going to buy into that because John is clearly biased. He's above. He's worse than me. But it's clear that a guy who's looking out for himself would put me next to last. That's how bad Raheel and Lance are.
Do you feel like everybody thinks that they're number four?
Yeah, everyone thinks they're number four.
Yeah.
Everyone does. No one is going to rank themselves one through three.
Like, Fred is admittedly the worst person on this show. And Aaron's admittedly the best person on our show.
Yeah, we're all about we're the best.
But it's not like you're good.
No, I'm not good, but I'm just not as bad as you.
And you guys are amateurs compared to us.
True.
Oh, the argument is that any of us are good people. It's just that Raheel, Lance, and John are far worse than I am.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 live from Twin Peaks, Kirby.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And the consensus worst person on the morning show joins us. Also, kind of a draft expert. You can get his mock draft on SportsMap. You can get his Texans needs on SportsMap. Lance Zierlein, what's up, buddy?
I typically finish others receiving votes in Worst Person on the Morning Show.
Lance, I got to be honest. I just saw a text thread on Dell's phone.
Yep.
You're easily the worst.
That's nothing. I mean, let me tell you, here's what he does. He probably deletes things. Actually, he doesn't ever respond, to be
There's
honest.
No evidence
he
of me being terrible.
Writing. Yeah. What he says, though, is horrible.
But what
he
you
says
say
horrible
is...
things.
What you say is literally like an impeachable offense.
Yeah.
If you're a politician,
you don't get impeached.
You'd be out.
You can't get impeached.
Even the Republicans would vote to convict you in this one.
They would not convict me.
The Democrats would go through with it, and the Republicans would convict you.
No, they wouldn't. It would be split.
All right, Lance. Let's get to the big news tonight. Obviously, the draft. Anything different from what you've posted this afternoon on the Texans or on the draft itself?
No. Look, I don't feel great about the Texans. You know who I put there. I really think it's difficult. But here's why. Because I think Brian Gain operates as a best player available type of guy. And when you say best player available, it means best player available typically at a position of need. So it doesn't mean, unless there's a special, special player who falls to you, and that's rare at 23, unless your board is just different than other people's, then you're going to take best player at a position of need. I think the only interesting thing is, I just put this little Easter egg in my sports map article, my first round primer, is that I had heard from a team who said, by the way, did you know the Texans were shopping Clowney? And I said, I did not know that. They said, yeah, he's out there. But you don't overreact to that kind of stuff because, frankly, that's kind of standard where teams will, after that Frank Clark deal,
yeah.
I think the Texans probably said, hey, Jadeveon Clowney is available. Are you interested? Are you interested? Are you interested? Going down the road from team to team, because if you want to give the Texans a first and second for Clowney, goodbye. He's got to go. That's just the way it works. But I don't think – and someone else could pay him a mega deal. But Clowney's going to want in the neighborhood of $20 million a year guaranteed like Frank Clark had. And that's not happening with the Texans. I can promise you that.
Well, I don't think it should. But, if you could get something like that for him, if Clark's going to bring that, Clowney bring something close at least?
I think Kansas City was desperate. I think you might be able to get a first for Clowney from the right team. I haven't heard anything about any movement or anything like that, so I don't think it would happen. And you'd want to do it before the draft. But that's the thing, is you'd prefer to do it with a team that could get you close to grabbing like Andre Dillard, the best left tackle, the consensus best left tackle in this draft. But you may have to go anywhere from at the earliest 9, I would say at the latest 16 at Minnesota. So you'd need to be at a sweet spot somewhere in there to get him. I thought it was interesting. Daniel Jeremiah mocked the Texans trading up to number 8. And I was like, I said, DJ, I don't think they're going to trade up. They're not going to trade up. And they have too many holes. And he said, well, word on the streets is that there may be a certain franchise player who's available. And I went and checked on it, and that was accurate. And so I think his thought when he did that in his mock is maybe the Texans trade with Detroit, who needs a pass rusher, an edge rusher. So I don't know. There's some interesting potential things going on. We'll just see what comes of it.
I know the big hope was that Andre Dillard would be available when the Texans pick first, but I've been seeing more and more today that if you're not picking in the top 20, you're not going to have that guy. So would they would have to trade up to get him?
You have to get into the top probably 15. And there's some different scenarios that could cause Andre Dillard to fall. If TJ Hockenson goes to Jacksonville at 7, and then if Detroit 8, let's say they move and Dwayne Haskins is the pick, Washington comes in there, and then 9 is said to like Jonah Williams, the Buffalo Bills, if Ed Oliver's not on the board. So then all of a sudden, if Jonah Williams goes 9, now Juwan Taylor hasn't even gone. So Cincinnati 11 could be a spot for him, but they could go – I'm sorry, number 10 could be Devin Bush. Number 11, Cincinnati, could be any number of players, but it would make some sense if they drafted Juwan Taylor there. If he doesn't go 11, he will go 12 to Green Bay. And that would be an interesting thing. If he went 11, would Green Bay draft an edge rusher, or would they take a tackle? They need a tackle, but Andre Dillard has played exclusively on the left side, and they're not going to move David Bakhtiari. So, if he slid past that spot, then you get to the Dolphins at 13. Then you've got at 14 is the Atlanta Falcons, who aren't going to draft a tackle. At 15, and Atlanta, by the way, is trying to move up for Ed Oliver. Number 15 is Washington, which would become Detroit. I don't think Detroit in that trade scenario we talked about would take. So now you got 16, and they almost assuredly would take Andre Dillard. So just keep an eye on the Texans. I don't think they would trade up. I mean, I really don't. They have too many holes. If they somehow move Jadeveon Clowney, which I don't expect to happen, and I don't think they've had any real discussions of substance, I just think there are some, standard feelers out there. So I don't want to overstate it or overdo it. But I did think it was interesting because I always wondered after the Frank Clark trade went down if the Texans might, sniff around on the same thing. And I think that is what they're doing. They're doing their due diligence. And by the way, Daryl Morey has done that kind of thing for years.
What about with the Broncos apparently looking to move Chris Harris? Is there any world where a Chris Harris for Jadeveon Clowney trade makes sense for the Texans?
Yes. Yeah, I think maybe not player for player. I think pass rusher has more value. But, yeah, I guess one of the arguments you'd make is, well, you're going to 10 from 23, so it is going to be a fair – you'd have to swap your first-round picks too. So if you said, hey, you get 23, we get 10, and you get Clowney, we get Harris, I mean, without thinking about it too much, and I know Harris wants $15 million a year, boy, that would – you would certainly have to give that some consideration because you'd have to think you get your left tackle of the future at number 10 also. Really good one in Juwan Taylor. I mean, one or the other.
And what would you say the Broncos' top need is at – at number? I mean, where they're sitting at number 10? What are they looking for exactly?
They need cornerback and they need cornerback and inside linebacker and tight end. But at 10, it's too rich for cornerback or for tight end. And Devin Bush would be the inside linebacker. But if they said we can get a rusher, oh wait, no. They're not going to. They got Von. What am I thinking? Talking about? They just got Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. There's no reason for them to go clowning. Stop taking me down this trail, AJ. I'm too tired.
There was a question.
Straight.
Yeah. You're an expert.
Not them, but there are teams like Detroit. There are teams like the Atlanta Falcons need an edge rusher at 14.
What about? I mean, with the Chris Harris thing. What about just trading for him then? What about trading your pick for him or a pick? I don't know what the Broncos would want in return for that, but it's clear that they don't want to pay him long term, and he wants to go somewhere where he can get paid. I mean, the Texans are so far under the cap, I assume they'd be willing to pay a guy like that. If you had to give up a first-round pick to get Chris Harris, would you not do that?
No, I wouldn't give up a first because the sliding scale changes when you have to pay a guy a big guaranteed deal. So
okay.
That's why the Frank Clark trade is considered so outlandish. NFL teams think Kansas City just...
they lost their mind.
Yeah, they just said, why would you give away a first, a second, and then have to pay that kind of gargantuan contract? Well, it's not gargantuan. It's a big one, though. But for Chris Harris, I would offer, you know what? I don't think a second. And frankly, they would want more than where the Texans drafted a second. So that probably wouldn't get the deal done. But if you said something,
what
did
you say?
Like
a second and a third?
That's too. I wouldn't give that for a cornerback. That's a Charlie Cashley for Philip Buchanan deal, and that's no good.
Man, I just feel like Chris Harris is like a legit player that's in the prime of his career, and I mean, it's a place where the Texans really need somebody, and instead with that second and third round, and let's face it, the Texans might as well light their third round picks on fire because that's what they've done historically.
But Brian Gain's first third rounder is Justin Reed, so that was pretty good. Akins, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan. We'll see how he turns out. And then I can't remember who the other third was.
I don't know. Probably some guy who got busted for weed already. I don't know.
No, that was Sam Montgomery, a third rounder.
Oh, that was him. Yeah, my bad. Yeah. Probably some guy who's got a blown out Achilles. Then they're all the same.
No, you traded a fourth rounder for that guy.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, never mind. Sometimes I get confused. I get confused. What are the odds, a game that we play on our show sometime, what are the odds that Kyler Murray is not the number one overall player taken?
Well, according to – so he is a 4-1. He's a 1-4 favorite based on the actual odds. So obviously
the Vegas odds.
Yeah, the Vegas odds are he's a 1-4 favorite. I think it should be more like 600. I think it should be more like 1-6. I think he's going to be a Cardinal. This stalling, I think, is to try to get a trade partner for Josh Rose and move him. I just don't. I just think Arizona has just kind of screwed this thing up. I think Kyler Murray is going to be the quarterback. And right now, it's just about trying to save face with the owner and getting as much value as you can for Josh Rosen. Now, the owner can't be happy that you just spent a first-round pick on a guy that you're about to trade for a second. He just can't be happy about that.
By the way,
Martinez Rankin.
Martinez Rankin, Texans expert, yeah. John Granato just texted that in, so he knows.
There you go. He'll be a future starting guard. He's not a tackle, but I think he'll be pretty good. And see,
did you say he was a guard when they drafted him?
Yeah, I said he was a guard. I wrote him up as a guard, a guard or center. He couldn't. I knew he didn't have the speed to get out to edge rushers, and that was obvious early on. But I do think he's not bad as a guard or as a center. So I wrote him as a guard. I didn't think he was a center. I actually wrote him as a center or guard because they wanted to play him at center during the spring, his final season, but they had some injury or whatever, and he had to play out at a left tackle. And then now the center, Eglinton Jenkins, is or I think his name is pronounced Elton Jenkins. He is the center who will go either in the first round or second round from Mississippi State.
If the Texans take something other than two linemen and two corners with their first four picks, would you be surprised?
Yes. No. I think there is a chance that defensive end could be a pick because if you're not convinced that Clowney is worth guaranteed money over the long haul, then typically the smart GMs, they don't wait until they're desperate. They will draft a year in advance at that position. So I don't think it's outlandish that if the right guy fell to the Texans at 23, they could look at defensive end. And the reason I say that is because there's a guy, Montez Sweat, who if Montez Sweat falls, or even Rashawn Gary with all his talent, I don't think Gary gets past 21. But let's say Montez Sweat were to fall from Mississippi State. He's got 22 and a half sacks in 2 years in the SEC. Ran a 4.41. He's got 36-inch arms. Like, he checks so many boxes, it's ridiculous. And he has a heart condition that's similar to Maurice Hurst. But then, you know, Ian Rappaport comes out today and says, well, there's a belief that he was misdiagnosed at the combine. Oh, gee, thanks, guys. That's nice. That's nice that I get misdiagnosed at the combine. But the reason I think that's a little silly is he was allowed to work out at the combine, and every team does their own medicals. So I don't – that doesn't really hold – that doesn't really hold water with me.
When you talk about them wanting to draft a defensive end and plan ahead, do you think that if Whitney Mercilus had a solid season this last year, that they would have franchised Jadeveon Clowney, or would they already have moved on from him?
No, I think they would have franchised him. But here's the thing. So the Texans, you got to remember now, people got upset about them not signing guys. The reason they don't sign them is because they knew the math on the situation. The new way that all the NFL teams, or smart ones, are operating is when they're going to lose free agents, they don't sign guys just to sign guys, because that directly impacts compensatory picks. So in their eyes, and really in the eyes of other teams, you don't just sign a guy just to sign a guy. You do it if you absolutely have to have something, because once you can give up four phenomenal players and get four scrubs back, but the first math you do is four cancels out four, you get no compensatory picks. You have to lose more than you sign. And so the more you lose versus the more you sign, the more compensatory picks you're going to get. And I think the Texans, when it's all said and done, if they can't trade a Jadeveon Clowney, they're going to see if he comes back down on – now, this is my guess. I don't know this for a fact, but there's no way Clowney is going to be looking for less than Frank Clark. There's no way, and he's not the player Frank Clark is. But if he's going to ask for that amount of money, I can't see the Texans giving him that. I've already told you guys, I'm on record, I'm terrified that once he gets guaranteed money – that, you know, these little injuries that are already keeping him from practicing and this, that, and the other, I just really worry about his football character. He plays exceptionally hard on the field. There's nothing I've seen on the field that would say he's not going to play hard. I just worry about, is he going to be fully committed to being a full-time, all-in football player, or is it going to turn into another, you know, kind of Mario Williams situation when he went to Buffalo?
All right, Lance, we got to let you go. We're way over. And by the way, here on KFNC and
Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Mont Bellevue, Houston. Yeah,
way over. Right. Now that I look at it, yeah.
Yeah, so we got to let you go. And apparently the Tariq
Hill. He did that on purpose. He moved us up.
If we had a program director that worried about the clock.
Another terrible person thing. Way to go.
The Tariq Hill audio's out, too, by the way. We're going to have to talk about that.
All right.
Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.